Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, Game of Thrones fans may be spending this week talking about a disposable coffee cup, but as the series finale nears, we're going to listen back to my conversation with David Peterson. He is the linguist who developed the Dothraki and Valyrian languages spoken on the HBO series. But first, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan began on Sunday. 1.6 billion Muslims around the world and thousands of Iowans are observing Ramadan right now. Estimates show that there are about 31,000 individuals who identify as Muslim in the state of Iowa. That means that many non-Muslims in our state have friends, neighbors, coworkers, and classmates who are observing this holy month, and they might have a few questions. To help us understand the meaning of Ramadan and how it's observed, we asked Imam Taha Tawil of the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids to join us. A little bit later, I'll also talk with Mohammed Ahmed, a senior at Iowa State University, about what it's like to observe Ramadan as a college student. And we also want to hear from you. Are you observing Ramadan right now? If you are, what do you wish your non-Muslim friends and coworkers knew about this important time in your life? Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Imam Tawil is on the line with us right now. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Cherry.
Thank you so much for being on the show again. And Ramadan Mubarak to you.
And Ramadan Kareem for you. Thank you.
So we're going to start with some basic information. First of all, we know that Ramadan is a holy month, but tell me more about it. What is the meaning of Ramadan?
Well, Ramadan is the 9 months of the Islamic calendar, the moon calendar. And it rotates. It comes in all seasons. So this year we are blessed to have it in May. Next year it will be in April to start, 11 days shorter. So that is what is Ramadan, is just the name of a month in the moon calendar of the Muslim community.
All right, so this observation moves every year because the lunar calendar is shorter than the calendar that we generally use for everything else. And so it goes 11 days earlier every year. How do you decide when it starts? What is the sign that you're looking for?
Well, traditionally, we have to sight the moon physically, which will be the night before on Saturday night. Muslims have been observing. They didn't see the crescent. So it will fall on Sunday night, start at the sunset. And so Monday will be the first day of fasting at dawn. And so every month we observe the sighting of the crescent, where it is. But now we have a lot of advances in technology and science. So they know where the crescent is, they know what time it will be showing, and where it will be showing also. So most Muslims now go to the science and go to the advances of the technology and the information that we have.
What makes this month a holy month?
Well, it's first because of the Quran. The Quran was starting in the last 10 days of Ramadan, in that night that we called it Laylatu al-Qadr, or the night of majesty, night of power. The Quran starts at that moment, which is the last 10 days of Ramadan. And because of it, we are very much attached to the Quran in the month of Ramadan. We read it entirely by dividing it into 30 parts. And each night we recite one part. And so by the end of Ramadan, we will be finishing it all. And that's basically why it is called holy, because it is associated with revelation, with scripture, with a touch from the divine to us on this earth. And the Quran considered to be like the last testament, and it comes from the same root as Abrahamic, where our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say that he came from Ishmael, son of Abraham. And so God Almighty wants us now to restore the message of Abraham and to bring it back alive into the world. And so the Quran is the scriptures that God gave to all his previous messengers. So we find things about the Torah, we find things about the Injil or the Gospel. We find the stories of Jesus, his birth, his miracles. We find the stories of Moses and his miracles. And the same with Abraham and the rest of the prophets.
You mentioned fasting, which I think is the thing that most people who are not Muslim know about Ramadan, that Muslims fast during this month. Can you tell me how the fasting works? Because this is it's a fast from sunup to sundown. But tell me a little bit about the rules for fasting.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Ramadan is just a name. But the significance of it is the fasting, is the action that we do from dawn to sunset. And some people mistakenly, they say sunrise, and that's a wrong assumption. It is dawn to sunset. What happened is that we get excited about this month, and so we prepare ahead of time a lot of things, including food and the schedule and a menu, what we want to cook. And at the same time, we share with each other. We are invited. We start with the intention the night before to fast the entire month. And every day before dawn, after we finish the food, we renew our intention to fast this day from the blessed month of Ramadan. Now, there is a pre-meal, a pre-dawn meal we call suhoor. And that is we wake up at 3, 3.30, all the way to 4.15, 4.30 max. And we stop eating after that. And the way we wake up in, you know, in the Middle East or back home, they used to have a drummer, you know, someone with a drum goes in the neighborhood and wake the people. But now with Apple phones and, you know, all these smartphones, they have apps that will do the, like the adhan, the calling for a prayer or alarm clock and things like that.
So, all right, so you can download a Ramadan app that lets you know when you're supposed to be doing all the things that you need to do.
That's right. Yes, we do. And we go without food, without a drink, no food, no drink. Even, you know, as husband and wife, there is no relation, sexual relation during the month. And we keep all that into the evening, what we call sunset. And at sunset, yes, come and see. We get the food ready and we start by dates. We break our fast with the 3 dates, water, sometimes juice or milk, you know, or any other, if there is no dates, you know, some other dry food will take a place of it.
Okay, so you start with a light snack. You're not breaking your fast with a big meal.
No. That's the significant is to get the small snack. Then we do the prayer, which will take, you know, another 5-10 minutes. And then we come back, and now we start the big meal. And we eat, and then we take a rest a little bit. Then we go to the mosque for the nightly prayer, Isha, we call it, the five prayer, the fifth prayer for that day. And there is a special prayer in Ramadan that we call Tarawish. And that is like 8 ruk'ah or 8 units. And some mosques do it at 20. And in that special prayer for Ramadan, we recite the entire Quran through the 30 days. Each night is one part of the Quran will be read. And then the next day we wake up again and we snack, you know, we eat and we stop at dawn and then we carry on to sunset.
When do children start observing Ramadan? How old are they?
Puberty is the age, 12, 13. But they are trained to do it as 7 or 6. Not obligatory, but it is just a training.
A practice.
When they reach the puberty age, then it is required from them to start fasting.
And are there special exceptions? I mean, this could be, it is difficult for a lot of people to fast during all of those daylight hours. Are there people who are exempt because of special circumstances?
Yes, there are. There are like 7 categories that they are exempt from fasting. And we start with the traveler, those who are traveling above 50 miles, then they do have the option to break their fast if they want to have coffee, water, whatever.
All right, and we'll find out about the other exceptions in just a moment. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. I'm talking with Imam Tahat Tawil of the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids. Coming up in just a moment, I'll also bring Mohammed Ahmed into the conversation, a senior at Iowa State University. We'll talk about what it's like to observe Ramadan when you're a college student. We'd also love to hear from you. If you're observing Ramadan, share your experiences with us. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. It began on Sunday, and thousands of Iowans are observing Ramadan right now. We're getting an education on what this month means to Muslims and how the fasting works and some of the other questions that many of us might have about Ramadan if we are not observers of the Muslim faith. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you have a question, or if you are observing Ramadan and you'd like to share your experience, we'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me right now, Imam Tahat Tawil of the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids. And we're going to bring in a college student into the conversation here in just a moment. But Imam Tawil, just before the break, we were talking about the people who are exempted from fasting. And you mentioned travelers. If people are traveling more than 50 miles, they may drink water or coffee, some of the things that feel really essential to travelers. What are the other exemptions?
Well, the other is the ill people. Somebody couldn't make it, feeling dizzy or tired, then he can break or she can break her fast. And then at the end of the month, then they can pick up what they missed. Like if I break 3 days right after Ramadan is end and the feast is end, then we have a period of 1 year to make up these days that I missed. The other 5 categories is that women in 4 cases, in case of her period, she cannot fast, in case she is giving birth to a baby, or she is pregnant, she cannot, or she is breastfeeding. All those for women are exempt. Old people or people who have hard work Like people work in the sun, on highways, construction. They also have the right to break their fast. And instead of fasting, they will be giving like a small amount of money for each day they break their fast. And that is like $10, $15 a day. So at the end of the month, these old people or those who work in hard, jobs, they will give out $300, $500 to poor people, to the mosque, to libraries, to any good cause instead of their, fasting.
Right. Another way to make a sacrifice. We're talking about the Muslim holy month of Ramadan right now with me, Imam Taha Tawil of the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids. And now I want to bring Muhammad Ahmed into the conversation. He is a senior at Iowa State University. He is also treasurer of the Muslim Student Association. And we want to talk about what it's like to observe Ramadan as a college student. Hello, Muhammad.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
And well,
I want to ask you, when we think about fasting, a lot of people who don't observe Ramadan may think, wow, this sounds really, really hard. And I'm sure it is hard. But when you think about Ramadan, when you're anticipating Ramadan, what are you feeling about it? Is it excitement or is there dread?
Well, I mean, there's kind of a mixed feeling for both of them. But then normally with this month, a lot of them look at it in a positive way because it kind of brings the self-control and a discipline to an individual. So for me, I get like more kind of excited towards Ramadan because a lot of the things that we normally do day to day, we're not really grateful for. By just fasting, like Imam said, we abstain from eating, drinking. So from dawn to sunset, when we even give up a couple of hours for like not eating food, not drinking, we kind of put ourselves in a position where somebody who's not able to afford food and they kind of experience the hunger and the thirst. So even just those few hours, it kind of motivates to be a better person, to kind of be more charitable and give back to the community. So that's how I feel that it's a very, as an individual person, you kind of go towards a little bit progressive side and then you're kind of grateful for the things that you have normally earned from day to day.
Of course, the rest of the world around you is not necessarily observing Ramadan. Your class schedule isn't going to change. It's finals week right now. What are some of the big challenges of observing Ramadan when you're in college?
Well, being, like you said, the finals week, the timing, normally just when we started the fasting now, the timing, like waking up in the middle of the at night, because you don't normally wake up around 3 o'clock just to go ahead and make a meal. And then even this morning when I was trying to eat, it was very difficult because your body is not very adjusted to it during that time. So that's definitely the most hard part of adjusting to the time. And it normally takes a couple of days till your body adapts to eating at a certain time. And then you kind of get into a habit after a couple of days.
Given that you're dealing with a lot of stress with finals, I know that at some universities, they will allow you to take a final test early if Ramadan is approaching or maybe make some accommodations. At Iowa State University, do you have those kinds of opportunities?
Well, universities, normally with the rules of university is that if you have certain, like more than 2 tests or 3 tests, you're able to change it. But with something like this, it really depends on a professor and if that's something that they're willing to work. And majority of them do because they understand that. A lot of them people are aware at university. So if that's the thing that's maybe helping you, you could change it, they will allow that. But as of now, I just want to be over with finals and then be back home just to be with the family.
Well, let's talk about the social aspect, and I want to ask both of you about this. But Muhammad, I'll start with you. You were talking about the meal in the morning, and we were talking about the meal in the evening. And for so many, this is a big social event and, of course, a time to spend with family. Being away at school, what's the social aspect of these meals? How do you find people to share it with?
Well, normally, we like at Muslim Student Association, we have like certain people that normally bring it together, and the community mosque at Ames, they also host an iftar, which is when you break your fast. So it's kind of a way for everyone to get together and break your fast with everyone. So you get to see your friends and people in the community. So it's a great way for us to gather. And we can normally do that in the morning too. So right before that morning prayer, like, you know, preparing meal. So a lot of the times what the people do is that it's hard for people to kind of go to mosque in the morning. So a lot of them do at home. Either, you know, you prepare ahead of time, like, you know, Imam was saying, it's all about preparation ahead of time. So you would rather know, like sometimes you would just prepare a meal before sleeping. So when you wake up, you would just eat that either with your family or your friends. But most likely, like towards the end of the day, when you're breaking fast, you gather up with the community and then the people and kind of celebrate that. So with this month being it, not only that you're kind of abstaining it from food and things, it kind of bring the community and the friends closer together. So, I mean, definitely you miss the family aspect of, you know, being away from it, but then you still have the community and friends that makes you feel like you're right at home.
Well, and Imam, you mentioned earlier the planning for the food. Yesterday, I was talking to a 10-year-old boy who's observing Ramadan right now, and he was telling me about the food. He said, my whole house is going to be like a buffet tonight. He was really excited about that. With the planning, is there a lot of planning for special foods that you'll share during Ramadan, Imam?
Well, I just also want to emphasize about the social aspect. Believe it or not, this is the month which gives like energy to the entire community. Everyone is excited, and the mosque, sometimes we decorate it. We decorate even the homes, like a Christmas light, but we have our own special, you know, lights like the crescent and others. And we put a charter for our kids and their fasting. They get some reward, you know, if they do the fasting well. Those who are under puberty or even young ages. The community, because of their generosity, they sponsor iftar for the students, for those who are unfortunate. Or sometimes for everybody, and the list goes like five families share one night. And sometimes there is so many families, they want to bring food every night to the Islamic Center, to other places, and they join. Plus individually, like I have friends close to me or especially relatives, I will invite them to my home. I will go to them. So it is an entire month of activity. About the food, really each tradition, we are universal. We have Arabs, we have Pakistanis, Bosnians, we have Iranians. We have so many nationalities among our faith. And therefore, you come and see an iftar in any Islamic center, you will smell the biryani far away before you come in. You will smell the maqlouba, the shish kebab, every tradition, whatever your nationality have a significant food, that's what you bring to the table. And that's how we know each other and we social with each other. And when time to pray, we go and pray for the nightly prayer. So it is it's a wonderful feast for 30 days. And then after the end of Ramadan, we do have a lot of activities. We sometimes have carnivals. We sometimes bring balloonists, magician. We can, for the kids, even some animals, bunnies and others for our kids to touch, to see, to ride, just to bring happiness in any way we can.
Before we focus on that end of Ramadan celebration, I will ask you, Mohammed, are there particular foods that you really look forward to eating during Ramadan? Are there special things that you ate growing up that you always need to have?
Okay, absolutely. Like Imam was saying, a lot of it comes from traditional, but many of the food that you see when you're about to break your fast is any fried food. So fried and the greasy food. And a lot of the times you would wonder, is like, well, this month would probably, you know, some of the people actually do gain weight just because of food, something like that, where they have fried dumplings, you know, like different type of traditional. So me being Indian, so we would have fried samosas. They're just basically pastry filled with the ground meat. And then they would have different types of food that you would see. You would see pastries there, and you would see a lot of mouth-watering sugar syrups. So with a lot of this thing, so yeah, it's very difficult. And then some of the people actually end up gaining weight eating all of this.
Yeah, it sounds like a diet program, but not so much, huh?
Not so much.
All right. Well, I would love to talk about the end of Ramadan. And Imam Tawil, I'll let you go first. Ramadan ends with Eid al-Fitr. Tell me about that.
Well, again, the feast is the most significant thing for our children. And also for the adults, but it is basically for our children to let them feel happy, and it's a day of joy. People are generous. They give help, you know, to whoever needs it at that day. And we plan as a community some activities for the kids. We start with a brunch. We have donuts that morning, coffee. We get a lot of even light snacks that we bring. And the community share that after the prayer, they finish their prayer, then they go to the social hall and they find all these cookies and the brunch, as they say. Then we go outside where we have the kids' carnivals are there and a lot of activities, as I said. It depends on their ages. There is a place where they can jump on that balloon thing. And there are many riding on a horse, on a bunny, things like that. Just the Eid al-Fitr, the feast, is a day of joy. And sometimes we have it right after the Eid, or we postpone it to the weekend, you know, if Eid comes like Tuesday or Monday, or that's a day of, you know, people take off from the school, they come for the prayer, the brunch, and then we come at the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, and then we celebrate the feast for the kids. And I want to mention the Hinna party, where specialists come, especially our sisters from Pakistan and India. They are so artists. I mean, they can do the drawing on your hands for the kids with the henna the night before, sometimes the day of the Eid. And we don't sleep that night, by the way. You know, the Eid night is a magnificent night for preparation and decoration and all of the happiness that we can gain.
It sounds magical. Mohammed, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, what do you wish your fellow students and just other people in the community knew about Ramadan? How can people be kind and supportive during this time?
Well, a lot of the people, you know, are aware of it. I mean, some are not, but then they're very respectful of what you're doing and they have questions. So I guess if they have any concerns or if they don't know, I mean, I would say don't be afraid to ask any questions. I mean, it's not a bad thing, even if you don't know. I mean, we are more than happy to answer those questions.
And I started the conversation with a greeting, Ramadan Mubarak. For those of us who want to be friendly and supportive, what do we say? How do we wish you a happy Ramadan? And Mohammed, why don't I let you answer that one?
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. In Ramadan Mubarak, it's basically saying, you know, congratulations for that month. So definitely, I think you could greet the same way. It's kind of like salam, which is, wa alaikum salam, wa alaikum salam, so peace be upon you. So it's kind of like when you're congratulating for that month, it's kind of saying it back. I don't know if there is any other way of saying it. Maybe Iman could be able to answer that better.
Yeah.
But normally, a lot of the times, people do greet that. And then other than that, I think that's normally how it is.
Yeah. Imam Tawil, you want to add anything very quickly? We only have about 30 seconds.
Yes. Ramadan is a month of blessing. So we say bless Ramadan. We also pray for each other. Any greeting that brings peace, happiness, blessing is the greeting of Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, that Ramadan is generous with the blessing.
Imam Tahat Tawil, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you, Chair.
And Muhammad Ahmed, thank you.
Thank you.
Ramadan Mubarak to both of you. Imam Tahat Tawil is of the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids, and Muhammad Ahmed is a senior at Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa.